Well, Shane Ritty is with us today. Dr. Shane Ritty. Hey, Shane, it's good to catch up again. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, Yamara. How are you?
Yeah, good, man. Shane, I see that there's some moves, or have been, from university advocates and a group that was wanting, seemingly, to toughen the rules on entry into some tertiary institutions. I see that the government's making changes to unis to give students better opportunities. You've announced a package of initiatives to modernise the sector and ensure taxpayer investment delivers real impact for New Zealanders. The University Advisory Group, who are they? And is there significant or do you think appropriate Māori input to that group and the perspectives that they are advocating?
Tēnā koe, Dale. Yesterday I'm announcing the university reforms, which are informed by the University Advisory Group and the year-long piece of work they did, deeply exploring with stakeholders how we can improve what's been considered a fragmented, non-aligned university sector. By that I mean there's no obvious national strategic direction. And so what these reforms look to do is to improve university performance to create opportunities for students so that their learning is better adapted to what the workplace looks like, so that science gets the opportunity to flourish and for those parts of science that are able to commercialise to then progress onwards. So it's a suite of reforms, a range of initiatives that include focusing on the things that's important, cutting red tape and improving quality and leadership across the system. Now, you've pointed out correctly that one of the key initiatives there is the new University Strategy Group, which will have responsibility for driving the tertiary education strategy. And I'll chair that group. And it will be composed of three vice chancellors. They'll select amongst themselves who they are. There'll be three independent people, the chief executives of MOE, TEC and MB, chief science advisor, a representative from the PRO, so a real collection of expertise across the sector. To answer your question, Māori representation, I was an assistant professor at Harvard, and so I do have some sense of how academia works, but I also acknowledge that there are others with more skills around tikanga than I have, and as we bring the group together, I'll be mindful of that.
But there'll be no guaranteed spot on that strategy group for Māori input aside from yourself, Shane?
Correct. It'll be skills based, and then within that, it's an and. I believe we can get appropriate Māori voices to the table.
It's a very competitive sector, tertiary, and bums on seats mean bucks. So, how might we get more cohesion here? And obviously, you understand we're on a Māori platform, so keen to know how we might have many more of our youth transition from schooling experiences into tertiary education. How do you see that advancing, and what would be some strategies to ensure that as we go forward, more of our people get this opportunity to study at a tertiary level?
Yeah, so the very first pillar in the tertiary education strategy is participation. That is, we need to maintain that and encourage that gateway open into tertiary education. And I'm very encouraged this year alone, there are thousands more Māori participating in tertiary education, which is a good thing. It then lends itself to the second pillar. Once we have Māori engaged in tertiary education, how do we retain them? How do we make sure that we get qualification completion at the end? And that's the second pillar to the tertiary education strategy. So I think it's a combination of things. It's how we look at that pipeline of learning, right from compulsory sector through to vocational, through to tertiary. How do we make sure that we shepherd, guide, help and facilitate that pathway through to tertiary? And then once we have them at tertiary, how do we help them blossom and see them through so that they have qualification completion at the end? And to a large part, the University Strategy Group will be tasked with this, because their first priority is to drive the tertiary education strategy, not this fragmented, self-interested stuff we've had before. It will be a united national pathway.
There appears to have been some resentment from our traditional learning environments. I'm talking Otago, VEC, Auckland, there'll be others, Waikato as well, to the establishment of Wainanga, i.e. to universities in their own right, but with a Māori focus, the three that exist now are seemingly capped, so there are no more. Does elitism already exist in the university structure?
Oh, I was visiting Te Wairangaroa Aotearoa in Auckland last week, and it was marvellous, a marvellous campus. And we need to understand that as a Wairangaroa itself, it's probably the second biggest tertiary institution. So let's look what happens there. Generally, older learners, obviously, because it's a kaupapa Māori environment, there are more Māori. But these are people who are participating in tertiary education, lifting their level of skills. And I tell you, that ripple effect through families, through communities is significant. So tens and tens of thousands participating in Wainanga, lifting that level of education through their communities. That's a good thing.
There does exist patch protection, though, doesn't there, from the more established learning environments?
When I talked about self-interest, this is what I was alluding to. And so the university strategy group is designed to help level out and harmonise where those interests compete and actually damage the sector. It is quite appropriate to have parts of the sector that specialise. For example, there is some thinking that at an undergraduate level, we should make sure we've got harmonised high quality, but that we differentiate our institutions and our offerings at a postgraduate level and maybe have centres of excellence across the country. Now, we have that through what's called CORES, Centres of Research Excellence, but in a general postgraduate teaching and learning environment, it's something that the University Strategy Group will look at as well.
Tēnā koe. Oh, well, I wish you well with this new strategy working group. What's your timeframes that you're working for, i.e. naming of that rōpū, and how long will they take to consider the issues you want them to consider?
I'll be looking to bring that up in ones of months. I will chair that. And on the agenda, we can anticipate there'll be questions of quality, there'll be questions of governance, there'll be questions of the new research fund that I'm, or the new formulation of the research fund that I'm cutting so much red tape. You know, universities said to me and said to the university advisory group, we spend tens of millions of dollars in just presenting information for the performance-based research fund, hundreds and hundreds of hours of work, and it's become so challenging that actually we're 18 months behind resetting that formula. I agree with them. There are other more modern ways for us to look at how we can distribute that funding. And so I've taken that on board, and we're bringing up a technical advisory group to redo that formula that will put millions of dollars back into learning, back towards students.
You've been there before, Shane. I know you studied offshore at Harvard. He was the squash champion there. Mate, you know, we talk about this pastoral care that often our people need just a little bit of tautoko. It's not an advantage, but it does at times seem appropriate that we have a sort of a wraparound strategy to tautoko these young students so that they can get across the line. Do you think it's an important aspect to the considerations that the strategy working group will have on the table? And how do you prioritise, or some of your attitudes towards the pastoral care for tauira in tertiary settings?
I think pastoral care is very important for students. And you'll note the second pillar I had was completion, which is where I put the issues around pastoral care to help students get through their qualification to get to the end point. And there's a whole module called learner support, which is reported to me, which I keep an eye on, which does exactly what you're describing. It is funded, and universities have to come up with a learner support plan that has to be approved by TEC, and I have some visibility on that as to literally how they're providing learner support to help students progress through their tertiary education. And for some universities that may not be as adept or may not be sticking with their plan, we can actually ring fence funding, we can withhold funding. So it's a very serious issue, and I do have some levers to make sure that that's applied.
Well, tēnā koe. Mate, I know that you know, are committed here for our people to have strong pathways into education. Ultimately, the strategies that you invoke, the people that you put in place, are going to have an important impact on the numbers and the quality of those who are that we deliver as a people through tertiary education. How important is it for you personally that you get this right?
Oh, very important. Education changes a life. Education changes a trajectory. If we want social mobility for Māori, education will be the tool. And so it's very, very important to me that we provide quality education, that we maintain the gateways open, and then when we have students in the system, that we shepherd, guide, and help them through to completion and then on into the workplace. Very, very important. It's important to us as a society, I believe.
Tēnā koe. There are a lot of people who have received education in this country who've gone offshore, and we know that there are billions of dollars in unpaid student loans. Now, I know that the government has been leaning on some of them who return home as they approach the gate to depart again, saying, hang on a second, what about this? How prevalent is this? And what's your attitude to those? Because we know that it's tough to pay back your student loan, but many do, but many don't. What's your attitude to those who think that they can sort of escape that bill by living offshore?
So my attitude to that is, you formed a contract with the government, with the people of New Zealand, and with taxpayers, and you need to meet that contract. I would submit that you are advantaged in your life and in your position and potentially in your career by the education that New Zealand taxpayers provided. This is a contract, a financial contract and a social contract you have back with New Zealanders. Do the right thing.
Tēnā koe. Any updates on numbers here? I mean, I mentioned the billions of dollars in unpaid student loans owing to our country. How have the strategies managed to claw some of that back? Any data?
Yes, I can certainly get you more specifics, but very generally there has been an improvement in data collection. Again, particularly our focus is offshore. That's where most of the student loan debt lives. And there was some funding to increase initiatives that look at how we can repatriate some of those funds back, and that has had some impact. But it remains an ongoing discussion between myself and the Minister for Revenue as to how appropriately we can have those debtors address their responsibility back to New Zealanders.
Might be discouraging some from returning home to visit whānau. Any idea what percentage of what is owed by Māori ex-students of our tertiary institutions?
I actually don't have those numbers to hand out, but I can certainly look them up.
Kia ora. Are you assuming it would be less than 10%, less than 5%?
Oh, I wouldn't like to hazard.
What I'm getting at is all the Pākehā have run away, owing dough to the country there, Shane, and some of our Māori people, yeah, but most of them will be non-Māori, and they've skipped the country owing some dough. We'd better get the heavies to go and lean on them, get some of that money back.
I think the responsibility back to New Zealanders, the fiscal responsibility and the social responsibility is across the board for all of those who have been advantaged by an education in New Zealand and then choose not to meet those responsibilities.
You're very diplomatic. You should be a politician, Shane Reti. Good on you, mate. Thank you, Shane.
Thanks for your time. Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Shane. Okay, all the best. Thank you.